Right now, a new proposal from a radio industry group is aiming to make changes that could impact what we hear on commercial stations.
The National Association of Broadcasters is hoping to relax the rules governing how many commercial radio stations a single company can own in a given market.
The Federal Communications Commission hasn't made a decision on whether or not to approve the change, but the idea has some observers worried about the negative effect it could potentially have on local radio and emerging artists.
Kevin Erickson is the director of the Future of Music Coalition, a nonprofit education, research, and advocacy group for musicians. Kevin, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what would this proposal from the National Association of Broadcasters change about the rules of radio station ownership as we know it?
So currently, the number of stations a single company can own in a single market is based on how many radio stations there are overall in that geographic market. So, for example, in a market with like 45 radio stations, a single company can own up to 8 stations. For a smaller market, between 15 and 29 radio stations, a single company can own up to 6 stations, and it continues downward after that. The National Association of Broadcasters has proposed to throw all that out. And so in the top 75 markets, a single company could own up to 10 FM stations and unlimited AM stations. And then in any of the smaller markets, a single company could own as many radio stations as it wants to. So in Milwaukee, for example, Milwaukee is one of the top 75. And so in Milwaukee, a single company could own 10 FM stations and unlimited AM stations. But in Madison, a single company could own as many stations as it wants. It would actually be legal for a single company to own every commercial radio station.
So I want to get back to sort of the broader implications this has for potentially the music industry and take a step back and look at the fact that this didn't simply happen overnight. This has kind of been in the works for, I'd say, you know, more than 20 years at this point. You know, the Telecommunications Act of 1996, you know, kind of opened the doors for this to happen. What did we see, I guess, prior to 1996 and to now?
Well, prior to 1996, you know, I think there was a much stronger possibility that as a local musician, you could just walk into a local radio station and say, here's my new single. Would you consider it for airplay? And now, as there's less and less investment, you know, radio makes money from selling advertising. And so when they centralize ownership, they can cut costs to drive the rates down. And so that makes it harder for truly local and independent stations to compete because they don't have the same efficiencies of scale. So when they're chasing those efficiencies of scale, that means that they tend to replace local talent with out-of-town and pre-recorded DJs. And so we've seen loss of jobs. You know, sometimes they replace those people with national programmers. Often they're just replaced with robots. And so we've lost the ability to just walk into a physical building and just say, hello, music director. This is the music that I've been working on. But we've also lost the ability to have people that are programming radio being embedded in their local communities. But there's a potential for it to get much, much worse if this rule change goes through.
We're talking to Kevin Erickson right now. He is the director of the Future of Music Coalition. It's a nonprofit education, research, and advocacy group for musicians. And he's with us to talk about the growing trend of small radio consolidation in the United States. And you were saying that, you know, this has the potential to get worse. You know, we've talked about, you know, sort of a lack of diversity on the airwaves. How do you see it getting worse if, you know, these big companies, say iHeart, which is owned by Clear Channel, Cumulus end up owning, you know, way more stations than they currently already do?
Right. Well, I mean, the truly crazy thing to realize is that this isn't even good business. We actually saw both Clear Channel, now renamed iHeartRadio, and Cumulus, which were really the companies that paved the way for this business model. They actually both been bankrupt, but not before transforming the entire radio landscape and moving radio away from the live and the local focus. I think that at the level of the smaller station groups, it drives them more and more the same direction. There's less room for the few remaining independent players, the smaller station groups, the companies that can remain accountable to their local communities to continue to compete. Helps propagate sort of the worst practices of the bigger companies. And so what we're left with is a tiny handful of companies controlling more and more of what we are able to hear. As a result of that, there's fewer opportunities for musicians, sure, but there's also less opportunity to hear even local news content. Because there's less of an incentive to invest the dollars in producing that kind of content.
You know, if you're saying that this is a bad business move for these companies, then, you know, what arguments have they been making to pursue this consolidation? Because there's clearly a goal in mind. So I guess what's being missed here?
Well, so I think that... because we're since 1996, we've been in this deregulatory environment where the Federal Communications Commission, the federal agency that has jurisdiction over our telecommunications infrastructure, has allowed more and more consolidation across industries, and that has driven the entire industry more and more in the direction of consolidation. And I would say that ownership consolidation is a problem across music businesses and across adjacent businesses, but really across our entire economy, fewer and fewer companies having more and more power. In this context, the argument that has been made by the big broadcasters is that, well, there's all these new digital services, and to compete with the digital services, we need to get rid of the regulations that govern what we call terrestrial broadcasting, AM and FM stations. From our perspective, though, from the musician's perspective, well, the appropriate thing to do with the new challenges presented by digital services, by digital music streaming, and is to look at what the appropriate regulatory scheme for those companies are, not throw out the remaining public interest protections that we still enjoy.
So I guess if we can just take a look right now really quickly at digital streaming, because that has gotten really big. It has been something that people go to now more than those terrestrial radio options, FM, you know, their car radio. How much has that impacted, I guess, musicians in particular, from your perspective?
Well, streaming platforms certainly are experiencing a lot of growth. They are able to feature a much broader variety of music than commercial radio. And unlike commercial radio, they actually pay musicians a little bit of money. Terrestrial radio, many people don't know this, terrestrial radio doesn't actually pay musicians and performers at all. At the same time, some of these music platforms have likewise been criticized for paying very little. Other digital services like Bandcamp have more equitable and fairly remunerative revenue models. But digital businesses are subject to the same problems of consolidation and can replicate some of these the most problematic trends towards consolidation. We just saw the merger of SiriusXM and Pandora, for example. What digital platforms can't do for all of the potential that they have, what they can't reproduce are the elements that make radio truly special, which is the ability to be live and local. The ability to have your ear to the ground. And that's worth defending. We can celebrate the growth that's happening in digital music, encourage these emerging models to be more accountable to communities and more responsible in how they treat musicians. But at the same time, it's an ecosystem, and radio still has incredible potential, too, if we protect it from the consolidation.
So this is just right now a proposal from the National Association of Broadcasters, which is what we've been talking about. What are the next steps in determining whether this does or doesn't become a law?
So the FCC, every 4 years, as part of its broad review of its governance of media ownership, looks at the existing ownership rules and decides whether or not they ought to be changed. So the proposal from the big broadcasters has been put forward in that context as part of this review that happens every 4 years. Now, what we've seen in the last few cycles is an FCC that's especially under the current leadership is an FCC that's got people who are eager to roll back some of these protections. The FCC has five members. They get to vote about a rule change, but then their decisions can be challenged in court and have been. Most recently, the last iteration of this process, another attempt to roll back media ownership rules. They just had the oral arguments in that case in a federal court, and we're waiting on the verdict to that. That may have implications for whether this plan is allowed to move forward. But in addition to the courts having oversight over the FCC and being one place where or it's possible for consolidation to be kept in check, Congress has oversight over the FCC. And so Congress can exercise that oversight by asking that the FCC do some studies, make sure that if they're going to consider such a radical change to the broadcasting landscape, we need to have good data so we understand what the impact on playlists is, so we understand what the impact on ownership diversity might be, so we understand how these changes will impact communities. Right now, we don't even have the commission is considering these radical changes without really having a strong understanding of even the changes that they've already made, dating back to 1996.
Well, Kevin, we'll have to leave it there for now, but thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this issue.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Kevin Erickson is the director of the Future of Music Coalition. That's a nonprofit education, research, and advocacy group for musicians. He was with us to talk about a proposal from the National Association of Broadcasters that would let companies own more radio stations in certain media markets.